24-7 to listen to our shows. We have a number for Studio A and Studio B, and best of all, it's free. Don't forget, your carrier charges for your cell phone provider may apply, though, so check with your cell provider to make sure. So ready? Here you go. Get a pen. Here's the number. Studio A is 712-432-6958, and Studio B is 716-748-0112. Thank you very much for listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station in the world.
Journeys on Revolution Radio on freedomslips.com and simulcast with wolfspiritradio.com. Join JP, your tour guide today, on this journey of discovery from the known to the unknown in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth.
Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, wherever you might be on this rotating sphere. It's a sphere, folks. It's a sphere. Yeah, we'll talk about that maybe. Welcome to 2016, our first show in 2016. This is Journeys with JP on Revolution Radio, a listener-supported, 100% organic and homegrown station. We are listener supported. You can support us by through the website and by seed packs and all sorts of wonderful things. Don't know if there's any dollars going, but anyway. Once that's out of the way, thank you very much for listening. This is Journeys, and tonight's journey will be with Captain Max Steele. Da-da-da-da. It's always good to say that. Hey Max, how are you doing, mate?
I'm doing very good, mate. Doing all kinds of good things. And it's all good here.
All right, you've just gone off mic somehow. Oh, there we go. That sounds a bit better.
Yeah, I got the headphones on.
Yeah, that's better. There, you're much more intimate there. So, how are you? We had a little chat last week. I thought, what it is, when I don't have a booked guest, there is a kind of little funnel zone. I call it like a trapdoor spider or a funnel spider, that anybody who contacts me during this 2 hour period before this show, when I don't have a guest, that's, that's like a sign. To me, that's a sign that they're volunteering to come on the show. So you sent me a message and I thought, okay, maybe it's Max's turn today. So, whether you planned it or not, here you are on Journeys. And, we were going to be last week we were talking about, how to access the subconscious mind. And, we did this thing and you asked me to give you some random letters and some random numbers and then you did some jiggling with them. And, it was a very interesting little conversation. So, do you want to talk about, first of all, how do people, show people, can you tell people about your background, where you come from with all this?
Well, my background goes back to my secret life that I was working in Area 51 and S4 and back with the Special Forces back then and Mind Control MK Ultra. I did work in that. Actually, I was a guinea pig for them. And I figured out how to trick them somehow. I'm sorry, my voice is pretty bad right now. I've gone through some really bad problems with these chemicals that I was around and messed up my voice very pretty bad. I'm trying to. First, I want to thank you for the show. You're a very outstanding speaker, and also want to thank Revolution Radio for allowing you to interview me today. And I've been involved in a lot of stuff. I can't really talk too much about it, but I have my own show on Dark City Radio, and I've said a lot of things. But getting to the subconscious mind, I do a lot of meditation here at home. I live in North Carolina Mountain. I live in a town called Ennis, North Carolina, in the Blue Ridge Mountains in North Carolina. I do a lot of meditation. I do have a labyrinth in back of my house. I have a pyramid there also. I meditate a lot in there. And I'm always trying to do something different about myself and helping others. And one of the things that I discover, how to communicate with the subconscious mind and be able to trick it, because the subconscious mind is not an easy, it's not easy to get in there and actually read the records that are hidden in there. But I found out a way how to do that. So what I did was, like I did with you, JP, last week, I was able to trick it by getting letters that the subconscious holds as a, it's hard to explain, but I was able to, like I did with you, you know, I told you, to choose between three numbers, between 7, 8, or 9. Actually, it's the level of communication of the subconscious mind. So, I forgot what number. You picked 8, didn't you?
I started off with, we started off with 7, but, like, it was a confusing 7, so I thought, So he said, all right, go again, and I said 9. And that's where we started.
Okay. It's every human being on the planet has three levels of an entrance to the subconscious mind. I discovered that on my own. And by choosing 9, which is the highest level, and what it does, it opens like, it's like we would say here on Earth, a file or a folder, and it tricks the subconscious mind to opening up and give me information. So what I did is I asked you for 9 letters, and you gave me 9 letters, and then I told you to give me 20, give me 9 numbers between 1 and 26. If you understand what I'm saying, 1 and 26, it's actually the number of letters in the American alphabet. It has 26 letters. So by asking JP for 9 letters, the subconscious mind gives him those letters. And what I do is I have a chart with the alphabet and the numbers underneath, and then what I do is whatever letters that JP gave me, I will cross-reference with my chart, and that will give me a certain amount of numbers. Okay? Normally, the number 9 number, it confirms certain frequencies that we have in our subconscious mind that works with the communication inside the brain between the electrodes and the positive and negatives inside there. So what I do is, as soon as I get all the numbers, I add all the numbers from the letters, and I put them down on a piece of paper. Sometimes I usually get 2-digit numbers when you add the numbers from the letters. And as soon as I add the digits, they add the letters, it gives me a number. I'm not going to say what yours are, because, you know, I keep record of all that. I'm just going to give you an example. For example, it will give me, if you add all the numbers, it will give me like a 1, 3, and 5. added up to 135. Okay, so if you add the 135, is actually number 9. Okay, and then I add all the numbers, and then once I add the numbers, it will give me a one digit number or a two digit number. So what I do, I add it, and I add it down below. If it gave me that, like the number, if you add all the numbers, give me 15, then 15 will be a 6. And then I start, and then I add both the numbers. I will add the numbers from the letter and the numbers. I put them all together. And whatever answer it gave me from those, I will add them all together. Then I'll get 3 digits more. I add them up. And sometimes a lot of the letters and numbers that I get, they do match with both the letters and the numbers. And when I get those, I start to see all types of different frequencies, and the frequency are deactivation codes for whatever problem people have. And I do a lot of sessions here on Skype on CAPT Max Teal. And I do probably a week, anywhere from 7 to 8, maybe at most I've had is 4 to 6 of them in one day. And I get calls from India, Australia, I get Russian, I get people from all over. I'm going to do a conference down in Australia. I've been invited to go there. All the expenses will be paid, and I have to worry about anything down there. So I'm either leaving in February or probably I'll be leaving in March. One of those 2 months I'll be heading for Australia. And then my next one will be India. I've been invited to go to Mumbai University to speak there for 3 hours and have 5 conferences there in a row, different days. And they've asked me if I go, they were going to give me 10,000 euros. And I said, yes. So, you know, it's all about helping people and carrying the mind, because I found a way to remove the blockage from a lot of people have a lot of blockage, you know. And it goes way back. And
Do you want to talk a little bit in detail about what you actually mean by blockage? What is blocked? What is blocking? And what is being cleared?
Okay. Well, some of the folks that contact me, they say they got blockage, and that blockage means when a person can't do different things, especially when people are trying to awaken, or they're having a very difficult life, either in school or in the university or in their private life. They just can't talk about certain things because it's blocked. So I can't explain too much, because what I'm doing is the unblocking. Okay, I'm gonna tell you something. There is this gentleman. I'm not gonna mention his name. He's actually lives in Los Angeles. He found out about me through another friend, and he had a big blockage. He said he had a lot of. He go to college. He can't think very good. Every time he gets to a certain part, whatever he's studying, his mind cannot go that far. He said he just can't do nothing about it. So he's 23 years old. He calls me and I says, Max, I have this blockage and I don't know what's going on. Can you please clear it up? Because you did clear up 3 of my friends and they're doing great in school. Can you do that for me? So I did the same thing that I did with you, JP, the letters and the numbers. And I start to read those frequency numbers, and because I know what frequencies are good and bad. And I read his frequency, and it was really bad. and it was a lot of blockage in the subconscious mind. And when I read his numbers, I found out that there's a certain frequency that mind control is being used, and because I was involved in that, I mean, I was a guinea pig for that. But I learned how I when I was in that MK Ultra, I found a way how to block the frequencies that were trying to put in my head to make me feel like, you know, like they got me under control. So, going back to this kid that I worked on, well, I'm going to tell you his first name. His name is Pedro, and he's American. And, I start to read the codes, and I notice that one of the code matches, the codes from the CIA. And what it was, I had a vision into that frequency, and the frequency was telling me that it was done in a game that's played online through the Xbox machine. And as soon as I saw that, I start to ask him question. I said, let me ask you, do you play on Xbox these war games of killing people and all that? I think it's called Duty something. I forget it.
Call of Duty.
Call of Duty. That's exactly right, JP. Thank you for telling me that. And I said, yeah, I play this every day, and I'm really good at it. Okay.
Really?
Yeah. And he said, since you've been playing that game every day, what kind of urges you've been having? He says, I feel like I want to kill someone. And I feel the urge of killing someone. And I feel like getting a rifle, an assault rifle. Okay? And, get an assault rifle and get on the roof and just kill a bunch of people. And I asked him, where are you getting these thoughts? So he says to me, it's from the game. It's sometimes when I'm not playing in my head, when I'm driving to school or I'm driving anywhere, and I keep getting a word that it's in my head. Every time I pick up the game, it pops in my head automatically. I said, man, you be in mind control. So, I found the word in the frequency. I read the numbers, and the frequency told me that the secret word that was put in his mind was let me see if I can remember. It's been like about a month when I did that. I can't remember the word. I got it written on my book. My book that I write. When I do, everybody's there. My records. I believe the it said John Wayne. It was the name John Wayne. Well, John Wayne was a great man, the Duke. He made a lot of cowboy movies, and it was shot. He's, you know, shooting back and forth, and then the second word was kill. And John Wayne kill. And when the word kill was mentioned, he would. His attitude and the way he spoke to me, he changed completely. He went into total chaos, and he started to say things that he's not supposed to say. But I found out that he was being that mind control, and I found out that it was a CIA a secret hidden mind control of the CIA in those games. See, this is how they choose people to do their own dirty work, by doing that kind of work. Excuse me, JP?
I get you. All right. But here's the thing.
Yeah.
Call of Duty. Call of Duty was one of the first times that the whole community, well, you know, the young people community, heard the term black ops. So it attracted that group of people who were investigating the whole mind control, black ops, MK, paperclip, whole scene there. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was a way of drawing them in order to get to them. And now, are these games, are they online or are they standalone?
Well, no, they are really online. And
so anybody could just go along to the server and tweak that user's parameters, for instance.
Yes, these programs are done on purpose, and they find the best players. They get the highest points, and they find, and then what they do, they keep an eye on them, and they, when they're on their line, sometimes the CIA sends a new program to them where it just shows their ability to find out everything about that person, and by testing them in many, many ways. So that's not just Call of Duty. They do it also in the other game called Grand Theft Auto.
That will determine how loose somebody's morals are.
Exactly. They do this, and see, this is one of the reasons I discovered this. One of the reasons you see all these kids going into school and doing all kinds of they fire on innocent children and students in the schools and all this. These are all false flag events. Some of them are real, but most of them are fake. But they usually, and then they go after the Second Amendment about how to remove the guns from the United States. And just a couple of days ago, the Chinese demanded, listen to this, the Chinese demanded that United States should be disarmed, because that the United States citizens have too many guns. And they're willing, they told the United States that if they give them permission, they'll come in into our land and take those weapons away from us by force if they have to. You understand? And they said that. Actually, I saw that. A friend of mine sent me a link to that on YouTube. I actually saw it last night. But going back to the what I'm talking about, these programs are really not good for the children or even the adults, because a lot of adults are committing these crimes, and because they're being mind controlled.
Do you think this spat of shootings that has been going on recently, you know, we've had there's almost been one a day in the last year in America. Do you think this might have anything to do with it, Max?
I believe 100%. I would say probably about 85% to be part of the games, and the other 15% is false flag. But it's all the same thing anyway, because there are these people are getting mind control on these games. Now, here's another thing I got to tell you, JP. CNN does that same thing, especially in their commercials. Or other programs, like Discovery and History, or True TV. It's not these radio stations doing that. They have found a way to tap into the electronics of I don't know how they do it. It's got to be hacking, because they're able to go into the pixel in the television, the LEDs, because they said that that's why we were changed from in 2007 from analog to digital, because digital is a little bit easier to do the mind control, where your subconscious mind is reading those, and what they do, your conscious mind cannot see it. only your subconscious mind can see it. Because once it sees it, it records it in your mind, and then it's got you under control. And here's how the mind control works on the digital TVs. What they do is when they want to put a word to record it in your mind, they put one letter first, put two spaces at the second letter, and then space it out until all the words are said. And they do that like any word from the only way that subconscious mind will record it in the mind is when they do it five times in a row. And when they do it five times in a row, the actual word that was spaced out is all one word together. And then they start to program you that way. And then your mind captures all that, your subconscious mind, and it records it. And you don't even know that you're being in that control. You don't even know. You don't even feel it. You don't even know the secret word either. And the only way to do that is probably to do either put you under hypnosis or do some kind of regression. Because that's the only way to get it out. And also the way I do it. Well, this fellow I was talking about in LA, it took me two weeks to get him out of it. I did a 2-hour session with him, and then I gave him some exercise to do. I told him to listen to 528 hertz, and then I told him to do 748, and then I told him to do 982. And I do have a generator here in my computer, tone generator, and I let them listen to it. Well, but before I start my session, I always ask permission in everything. Then I do that with you, JP?
Oh yeah, sure.
Yeah. So you have to do that first. So that's what I did, and I told them to listen to those frequency on YouTube, which he did, for a whole total of 7 days. And then the following week, I did another session with him. And finally, in the last 1 hour, I removed the frequency and the mind control that he was into. And I removed that completely from him. And he was happy and everything. He's doing great. I talked to him yesterday on Skype, and he's doing incredible. He's doing really good. I'm really happy that all that was done in 2 weeks. Some of these take longer, but, you know, usually I can do that in one session. I do charge $150 for 2 hours. But your JP was free.
Thank you very much.
But I do this almost every day. I didn't do any today. I've had to cancel a few of them. I do some people out there that don't have any money or they can't afford it. I just do it for free. And that's what I do. But
so let's talk a little bit more about the process of programming and deprogramming. Now, these days, it's down to a science. It used to be quite a bludgeony kind of, sledgehammer to crack a peanut kind of thing. But now it's something that can almost be done, here's the thing. 9/11, I believe, was a mass operation to mind control the entire American public, if not the world, but the American public, which was enough. What would you say were the factors? If you were to look at 9/11 and the preceding kind of propaganda that went in, how would you you know, if you were sort of looking at from the perspective of the perpetrators, what were the processes involved that were done on a mass scale that are the scaled up version of what you do to an individual? Do you understand what I'm getting at?
Yeah, I do. But you jump to many things.
Too many things. All right, so let me just wind it back.
9/11. Let's do
9/11. Right. Okay. So on one level, apart from it being an insurance job, it was a programming job.
Yes.
And it was to shock and traumatize enough American people that they, well, can you talk about, first of all, how a human being is programmed, and then maybe it's not something you've actually spoken about or thought about, but you know, I'm just inviting you to apply the same thing but on a large scale.
Okay. All right. Let's say 9/11. All right. Now, before I go into 9/11, let me say something real. Okay. For example, listen, CNN is one of the stations. I don't care. CNN is one of those stations that actually tells you to the public. Here's one of them. He says, we found out that ISIS is going to come to the U.S. and start to do some type of distraction. Not distraction, but actually harm us in any way. They always say ISIS is coming to the U.S. ISIS is going to do all kinds of bad things here. What are they doing, JP? You know what they're doing? They're creating fear. That's the number one thing. Fear is what they want. They want to put the public into fear because fear is very controllable by even all types of mind control. Fear is the first word that they'll put in you. And the fear is what controls you. And not only that, when a human, especially like the negative entities and the dark forces, when you go into fear, that's when they feed off you. They feed that energy off you, and the fear is what make people very controllable, and also they're so sensitive to fear, they're easy to control.
So it's a bit, really, in a way, it's a bit like when you have a lemon and you want to kind of get a little bit more juice out of it, you warm it up, you roll it around, you pummel it, you tenderize it a bit, you know, you beat it up. So the energy which comes off us when this process is applied to us is a little sweeter to them. It's like you know, the very youngest calf terrorized, and or the pâté de foie gras, where the goose is force fed. It makes the louche a little bit sweeter. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. And here's the other thing is too, when they at the beginning in time when they introduce the lime or the lemon, they said, well, this fruit, because lime and lemon is a fruit, it's not a vegetable. And they say, well, lime and lemon is sour when you taste it. So what they're doing, they're programming you to say that the lime and lemon is sour. So when you do taste the lime and the lemon, it is sour. Now, if you program and tell the person that it's not sour and it's sweet, and you keep saying that, the mind picks up on it, records it, and then when you, next time you taste the lemon or lime, it is sweet. It's a program. It's a program that's being put out there. And everything is involved with. They always come up with the answer on how to make you in control. It's all about controlling the mind, and that's what they're doing. Okay, 9/11. When I first saw the news, I just had come from work. I worked over in the night, midnight hours. And a friend of mine knocks on the door, about break my door, Dan. And I grabbed my gun and I said, who in the hell is knocking on my door so loud? And he said, no, it's me, your neighbor. He says, open the door. He said, okay. I opened the door. He says, we're being attacked. I said, what do you mean we're being attacked? And he's military, ex-military. He says, they're attacking the Twin Towers in New York. Really? And so I put my TV on real fast, and then he's sitting next to me. We're watching it, and all of a sudden I start to pick up these letters going across because you can actually do mind control on analog too. Okay, but digital is more precise and more direct. It's got more control. So at that time, 2001, we were an analog TV, not, you know, plasma or nothing like that. And then I saw these faces in the pixel. And I saw these, like these glitches in the pixel of the TV. I said, what is this? And, my friend that was there, he couldn't see what I was watching, but I was able to see. And I saw, it says control mind. Well, it was C and then the O and the space in between. They would put a whole letter across, a whole letter in spaces all the way across the screen at the bottom. And then, they would put a second word right below another line, separated. And then they put the letters together and they start to blink and pulse as for your subconscious mind to pick up on that signal. Because, they, you know, back in the old days, excuse me, when mind control, started with MK Ultra and all that, they were the ones that started that. In fact, wait a minute, let me go back further.
Let's go back further, because, my audience are very, astute and switched on and know all about the Nazis and know all about Operation Paperclip, and they know all about the secret space program and lots of stuff they know about, those of us who have been following the show, so including me, I sometimes listen to it, it's quite interesting. So we're quite aware of Paperclip, and you know, some of the worst people in the world were ferreted across from Germany, including Dr. Green, aka Dr. Mengele, who's the mind control dude right in the middle of it all. Presumably you are from, yes, you see, one of the things that apparently you do is whenever somebody's speaking the truth, you start coughing. It's a message that's coming through you rather than from you. Is that right?
That's right. Every time I do a session with anyone, I start to cough, and it keeps going on. It's because I'm getting information that's coming from the truth, from the light, and I do cough. I do cough a lot. That's probably why my voice is so scratchy. I did a session last week that 4 hours and 50 minutes. I couldn't take it no more. My voice went out. I had to finish typing, and I can't type very well. But anyway, going back, mind control started back on when they're mind controlling the people was back in 1942, in the early 40s. They started to do mind control, and it started with the CIA, and the Russians were doing it too. And not only the Russian, but the Nazi were doing it too. And it goes way back. And, Nazis are the worst of all of them in doing that. Until the Americans start to get better at it. And, that's what they're doing. Now, did you want to go back to, 9/11?
Yeah, because, well, it's all about the scale of it. Because 9/11 is something on a large scale, but things were going on before that, weren't they? I mean, this was, it's like the pinnacle of a series of developments. So if you want to talk about the developments and how they, you know, how they discovered all that, all this, you know, let's go there. That's great stuff.
Well, you remember, the first time they bombed the World Trade Center was it 1990 or 1992? They put this, rental truck underneath and they blew it up. And, that was the first line of fear that was put into the public on all the media networks. And they're all together. They work together. And it's part of the secret government. That's the cabal and, you know, the Illuminati is all behind all that. And, that's the first time they did it. And actually even, remember when they, exploded the, federal building in Oklahoma? Do you remember what year that was?
That was like a 98 or something. I'm not sure.
1998?
I'm not sure, but because it's American history, not British history. I'll tell you that, it was 97 when they killed Princess Diana.
Yeah.
Which I believe, you know, we're talking about the same thing.
Yes.
We're talking about the same kind of operation. Just change the characters. The feeling is the same. As I keep saying to everybody that I talk to, the feeling is the same. The story is different.
Yes.
So,
yes.
You know, for 9/11, we can substitute in Britain, the murder, the murder of Princess Diana.
So let me, that
so
thing.
Go ahead.
Right. Princess Diana, I think she was a wonderful woman. And the thing is that she discovered the truth of what was going in, what was going on in the royal crown of, Princess, the Queen Elizabeth. And she found out a lot of stuff that she didn't want to be involved. And, it's one of the reasons why she left Prince Charles. And she discovered the truth about what was really going on there. And she didn't want no more part of it. And after they, JP, don't you think the death of, Prince Diana was sabotage?
Oh, Lordy Mama. I mean, I was straight. I wouldn't say happily married by at that time, but you know, I was married at that time, and both my wife and I, we lived in the southwest of England, and actually the next day, I met somebody who we knew from our children, her child's school, and turns out to be Princess Diana's cousin. It's like, oh, you heard about her? Yeah, she's my cousin. Yeah. I'm like, oh my God. You know, what's like, how to deal with that? But, it was almost personal for everybody, you know. It was like she was our friend who had, you know, she was the prince, she was the American dream, as it were, in Britain, which is the every girl wants to be a princess. Every young woman can be a princess. Yeah,
yes.
Now we know what princesses are. They're the things that are fed to the dragons, I believe. <It's> like, meanwhile, so to us, it was a really personal attack to the heart of every British feeling person. You know, that was how deep that was for, and so. Yeah, your dog agrees. It was a big thing. Anyway, so it was heartbreak for Britain. It got the Americans somewhere else. It was like that was the heart of capitalism, the heart of American pride, really, wasn't it? To get the trade and the business and military. You know, that's the big pride of America, and that's where you were hit.
Hold on, I got, can you wait?
Yeah, I'll cover the air. Yeah, you've got the doctor.
I do have a police officer in front of my door here. I need to find out what it is.
Okay, right.
I'll be right back.
All right. Well.
Okay, I'll be right back.
Okay. Well. Okay. That's fine. So yeah. So while my guest is dealing with it, I hope that then he's not going to bring them in and he'll be here because I think I was on the loudspeaker. So I'll have to cover some very So we're talking about the process of large scale mind control and how that develops from personal scale mind control and perhaps group scale mind control, because they're all part of the one continuum. And if you're dealing, you know, with the plans of the Nazi Fourth Reich, large scale mind control is part of it. You have to be able to trigger the people in your under your jurisdiction. So we have Princess Diana in Britain. So what happens? It feels like our heart is removed. I mean, it really does. It was something that was so shocking. So, you know, even though she was back to being a normal person, she was still princess. She always was, you know, like they say, oh, Diana, Princess of Wales. BS. She was to the hearts of the people of Britain, which is the people who are the subjects, you know, she was Princess Diana and she always will be and, you know, never will be anything else. And they were trying to make a kind of deity by sacrificing her. There's many, many layers to this. There's probably an insurance job out on her as well. That would have made Charles a pretty penny. Presumably when they got married, Charles took out an insurance policy, you know, a life insurance, as you do for your wife. Yeah, might be interesting to see where that all came out.
How much was it?
I wonder what. But it probably made a little dowry for... I wonder if Camilla Parker Bowles placed an insurance policy out. How was your police visit? Are they okay?
Oh, actually, it was the sheriff's office who were looking for someone, and they showed me a picture of someone. I said, no, I've never seen that person. Uh-huh. That's all I want. They don't usually do that, but I guess... I've been living here 14 years in my house, and this first time ever happened. Oh. And just looking for somebody.
Huh.
Yeah. Sorry, I interrupted the show.
No problem. You have to deal with these things in real time. You know, so
yeah.
I'm fine. You know, so basically, you got the gist of where I was going with this. It's all about scale, but the same process.
Exactly.
And, you know, so what I was looking for you to do was to kind of break the process down and then break down like the process of what happened in 9/11, or at least what happened to the people during 9/11, what happened to the American people during this event, if you can look at that.
Well, the first thing they did is when they, like I said before, in the 90s, they exploded a bomb underneath the Twin Towers. That was the beginning of the program to create fear. And what they did is by doing such a thing and finding out that I got my grandson right here. Anyway, no, you got to go over there. I'm on live radio here. Oh my God!
Hello.
Okay.
Give him a hug. Give him a little hug. He probably just wants a little hug.
Well,
is he run away?
My daughter took her to the bedroom and kind of fast because she knows I'm on live radio. I'm sorry about that.
That's all right. As I said, you got a life, we got a life. I live, you know, this is my home. Yeah, it's your home. So.
Yeah, it is.
And it's a difficult subject that the world is having difficulty hearing. So let's have another try. We keep trying.
Yeah, the other thing is the sheriff knows that I do remote viewing And sometimes they do ask me to go to the station there in Allegheny County. That's where I live. And they called me sometimes, and they came find this guy, and so they asked me if I could do that for them. And they did ask me if I could go tomorrow, but I can't because I'm leaving out of town tomorrow. But anyway, what I want to say about 9/11 is, first they start with a small program, and that program, they see the result. They got a way how to figure out how many people are watching their station on TV. They have a way how to do that, and they usually do it. You know, most people have satellite TV here in the U.S. They can do it with these digital receivers, and they know how many people are actually watching that program. So they test people by certain ways. And the four-letter word, the four magic letters, is F-E-A-R, fear. And they tried to see how many people are actually going into fear. So the next event that they would do is something where it would be so horrible and so controllable that when they start seeing these towers being hit by airplanes, which there were not no airplanes, okay, and then these buildings, you know, going from one floor down, da 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 da, da like that, which is demolition. It's all, and then by they're watching all that, and at the same time, they're being mind controlled to what you're watching, and then it caused more fear and fear and fear, and then they want to do like New York. Because New York, Manhattan, is an island. And it has several ways to get in. It's by bridges. What happens if you shut down all the bridges and you cannot go across it or go out of it or into it? People start to go into shock. They start to get into fear. They're being already controlled. And they keep putting that program. You know, CNN, when something happens somewhere, they'll keep showing that program. They'll burn your mind with it by showing the program constantly. And while you keep watching it, they're still mind controlling you, putting words in your mind and controlling. And all it is just fear. And then people start to get crazy about it and talking about it. And they don't know what to do. They go into fear. They even get worse. And then that's how you control people, by mind control, by these false flag events. 9/11 was a false flag. It was the biggest one in the history. And then the second one was Hiroshima, you know, Fukushima, when they had the biggest tsunami over there. You know, that's even more fear. And then the Indonesia tsunami, you know, and it just goes on and goes on. They always pick different areas. What is the easiest people to control by using these mind control techniques that they use on the television, especially the LED? And the smart TV is the worst of all of them, because all these TVs that became digital, they have a camera inside the I have a Samsung. I have actually two of them. I have Samsung. And it's got a little blue light in the bottom. This is a plasma TV. And I have the internet hooked up to it. But then I took it off. And I found out that there's a camera in the center of it where you push to turn it on. And it's in the center of the television screen. So one day it broke. So I call a technician, come out here and fix it. And he started to take it apart. And said, do me a favor. Where you push the button to turn on. Could you look in there to see if there's a camera? I said, I've never heard such thing. He says, look, I'm paying you with my money. If I tell you to look in there, you look at it. Or I'll find somebody else. Well, he opened up the box, and guess what, JP? There was a camera there. And I told him to remove it, and he did. And not only that, these DirecTV receivers and also the Dish Network, the receivers here in the United States do have not only a camera in it, it also has a listening device. Okay? And even all these electronics, refrigerators that, they have listening device in them. They're listening to you right now. They listen to us. They listen to us right now on Revolution Radio. And not only that, JP, they have us, they're putting now chips in our, in our credit cards. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, well, there's all sorts of things. It was interesting because a few years ago I was given a programming project. I'm a programmer, and it was for a fridge, and it was for a hotel that had like hundreds of rooms, and the fridge had a little computer in it that would send a message when the door was opened and if anything was taken out of it. Or, you know, what time the door was opened and whether there was somebody in the room and all of that stuff. So, it would basically tell the hotel owner whether to, restock the fridge. I mean, that was basically the idea, is to make sure that it's always stocked. But, you could take that data and say, well, what are you doing having a drink at 2 o'clock in the morning? You should be asleep. You know, stuff like that.
Yeah. Excuse me, JP.
Please, no need to apologize. Just let your throat go. We know what's wrong. So let it happen. You know, have you got a drink?
I just drank some water just now. I went to get some moonshine a little while ago, and the guy ran out. You know what that is, right?
What do they call it here? We have this amazing stuff called Spike, which is that you eat it straight out the whiskey barrel before it's added. Before the water is added, it's like pure alcohol. It's fantastic.
Well, actually, when I drink a little bit of it, it gets rid of my scratchy voice for some reason. But they didn't have any. But they're going to make some tonight, so I'll be able to get it tomorrow.
Ah, brew up. So, listen, we'll be, there's a hard break coming, and there's a little guitar tune that will be coming in a minute or so. There we go. So, we're going to extend the idea of extending mind control to a mass scale, the Max Steel method. or rather, deprogram. We want to deprogram on a mass scale. So this is the you know, that's the corollary. Okay, don't go away. This is Revolution Radio. This is Journeys with JP. Skibbity bumbidi doo. Revolution Radio is for you. Please give money. Money, 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 lots of money, please, please. Anyway, yeah, there's my. can I get any more basic? It's worth a fiver. It's worth a coffee. You know, if you want to buy me a coffee. Actually, you can buy my entire archive for a year on a CD, on a DVD, listen to me talk to lots of very interesting people about very interesting subjects, if you like that sort of thing. It's not everybody's cup of tea, but it certainly is mine. Which reminds me, I left it in the kitchen. I'm on tonight with Captain Max Steel, who is speaking with me about mind control. Now, we're talking about scale of mind control, which means you can do it on a personal scale, you can do it on a group scale, as in a cult, or you can do it on a mass scale. And I've outlined two events which, to the British people and to the American people, have been, I believe, examples of that process. Now, what I want to do is get to, you know, how do you program a person in, you know, really sort of block terms, and then how do you program a group, and does it scale so easily? And then it's been the subject of its experimentation. You know, some of these things were experiments, and some of them, like you say, like the Oklahoma bombing, were an experiment, but also a a precursor, predictive programming is one of the things that it could be called. So do you want to break it down like that, Max, or do it your way, man? But that's the kind of process that I want to be illustrating here.
Well, you know, I'm not a very educated person like you are, and
neither am I. I sound a lot cleverer than I am, but it's just the voice. Don't worry about the voice. I'm just finding out about all this stuff, and it's fascinating, and it's terrifying, and it's horrifying, and it's amazing, because through this knowledge that was found out through the worst possible thing that could happen to humanity, the knowledge that came through this could be the key out of it.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm going with it. So I want to make it plain for everybody to understand how this thing works. So okay. I'll stop talking and let you paint the picture for us, please.
Well, I'll try. Mostly everyone on this planet is some type of a mind control. It can be done in many, many ways using certain letters, colors, and certain names. They use, especially with the children, they use the cartoons, especially the new ones they come up with, like the sponge head or whatever that's called. And they use certain techniques there, and they use colors, and they use certain words. And once in a while, you'll see violence in it. And what it does, it's just subconscious mind, it's picking up on all that. And when it picks it up, it will start to analyze. See, these people that had discovered this, these brilliant minds that discovered this, have found a way how to control people by many ways, controlling them in commercials on TV, colors, bright colors. Some of the mind control is being used with bright colors. And sometimes they use illuminescent, illuminated lights, colors, that, when you shine a flashlight on it, it retracts and it's brighter. They do it in many, many ways. I would say that 99.9% of the people on the planet has already been in that mind control. It's just a matter of, and then they choose a certain amount of people to do all kinds of dirty work. Okay, and there's a lot of doctors out there that are also involved in that stuff too, where they're getting, and they're hand counted, but they do work, especially the psychiatrists, the psychologists, depends who they are. They're also involved in those mind controls. There are so many ways to control a human being and program them to do many, many things. And, you know, a lot of times they say that it's karma, that they have this kind of karma. Like, for example, these gangs that is street gangs and cities, and mostly those people are so easy to get through their minds that they will do anything to hurt anyone for nothing. It's just a matter of how to control them and find a way to get to them. And 99% of the people on the planet is mind control. Is that they're set up in categories. They set these people in a category where a certain program is being put out there in public by the television media. They're the ones doing all that. It has been done also on radio, mainstream media, and also what I'm trying to say, the streaming here on the radio, we don't see it because it's actually on television, but we do hear it. and there are certain things in the streaming, it depends what show you're listening to or what station you listen to. They have these streaming frequencies that are put in there, and you don't hear it with your ears, okay? You don't hear it. You can't even identify where it's coming from because the frequency is so minimal and very low, and they usually start anywhere from 10.00 hertz to about, they go as high as 134.7 hertz. And we don't hear that. There are these patterns in the frequency between 12 hertz and 15 hertz that your mind will capture, your conscious mind, the subconscious mind does. And as they figure out that those low frequencies are easier to, for the subconscious mind to pick up on it, and it's very sensitive to that low frequency. Now, I have discovered by doing these sessions with different people that have been in mind control, like the person I was talking in Los Angeles, I can dictate out this frequency right now. I'm going to give you a deactivation code right now, and then I'm going to give you an activation code. Now, whoever listening out there, on Studio B, and are in the chat room, because I'm looking at the chat room right now. I'm going to, if anybody out there that's listening that picks up on this frequency, please type something in the screen if you feel any different on what I'm going to about to do right now. All right. Deactivation code 15.1515 IDactivate. Repeat that. IDactivate 15.1515 IDactivate. Say that into your mind or say out loud if you're there by yourself. And then I want you to say that frequency. I activate 18.1818 IActivate. So repeat that. I activate 18.1818 IActivate. Now I did this on a show on Spaced Out Radio probably about 2 or 3 months ago, and they had this person. He didn't want to give out his name. He had a lot of blockage. He had a lot of chips in his body because he knew the owner of Spaced Out Radio. That's who I did the show with. And that guy, as soon as he repeated those frequencies, he started to feel a little bit dizzy inside him. Well, what causes the dizziness, being dizzy in your mind, is because you're releasing that mind control frequency that you were involved with. And then when you activate it, it does this kind of side effect that you're dizzy. But the dizziness will go away. And it depends on a person. It can go away within 5 to 10 minutes. I think this person lasts like 35 minutes when, but he said he was a little bit clear in minded, and he didn't know how many chips he had. He never called me for me to do any work for him. I believe that this person, either was a setup for me, or not for the owner of the station. He's a very good person. He's a good friend of mine. His name is Dave Scott of Space Out Radio. He owns it. We're good friends. And I believe that this could have been a setup. But he said he did feel something, and he didn't directly contact me. Dave Scott contacted me on the Skype texting here. And he said he feels a little better, but he's very dizzy. And so I told him, listen, let's tell him just relax, and it will go away very soon. But I'm being tested all the time here on the radio, especially on my radio show, JP. I get tested. I've been hacked twice in the last 4 months on Skype, and I got tired of it, and then I finally remote view it, and I found out who it was. I'm not going to say who it is, because if I say his name, Revolution Radio, some of the people here, they know who he is. Okay. But anyway, it's okay. What else you want to ask me?
Well, could you explain exactly what the frequencies of 15, 15, 15, and 18, 18, 18 are, what they represent? I mean, when I would be, if I were to be interpreting those frequencies, they're down in the bone structure frequency level, I believe, or at least the neurophysical kind of level.
Okay, if you add the 15, 15, the 15 is actually a 6, and you got 666. That's the deactivation of that, and then the 18 is a 9, which is a very high. It's a frequency that's very high in the spiritual world of cleansing and cleansing and also removing mind control frequencies. And I've actually seen it. I've done it. I use it on myself. I use myself as a guinea pig a lot of times. I do have friends that, I've had problems in that area, and they asked me, "Why don't you use that on me?" So I said, "Well, I need your." Removing mind control frequencies. And I've actually seen it. I've done it. I use it on myself. I use myself as a guinea pig a lot of times. I do have friends that I've had problems in that area, and they asked me, "Why don't you use that on me?" So I said, "Well, I need your permission, because I ask permission for everything." And I actually done that with them, and they've had all kinds of problems in their life, and I was able to remove a lot of the secret frequency that had been put in there by mind control, not just letters. Individual letters or individual numbers. It's caused also by low frequencies. Now, like for example, I had a person that came to me. He said he worked in several underground bunkers for the government of Australia, which is also controlled by the U.S. government, and he'd been in there working for 25 years. And he came to me. In fact, he was on vacation in New York, and he asked me if he could come to my home. I said, "I usually don't do that. I usually do it on Skype." So what I did, he said, "Look, I'll pay you anything. I just want to get out what's in me. There's something in me that's controlling me, and I don't know how to get rid of it. And I've gone to people that are, they do hypnosis and regression, and they record the, he had one that was hypnotic, a very important guy and very good in New York. He's got an office in Manhattan. He does a lot of movie stars. I can't remember his name, but, he went to see him, and when he did the hypnosis, it came into a section of it that was that the person doing the hypnotic, he couldn't get into. He cannot go. There was something in there that couldn't even get through it. So he decided to change it from hypnotic to do a regression on him. Still had a blockage, and the person said, "Look, I don't know. You're gonna have to see somebody who's dealing in mind control, because I cannot open your mind to see this." So, finally he contacted me, and he said, "Listen, I went to a hypnotic, done a regression, he found a block in there. Can you help me?" He said, "Yes, I can." So I gave him the address of my house. He got himself a rented he flew to Charlotte, North Carolina Airport, International Port, and he rented a car and came to my house. And we talked for a little bit, and I was able to tap into his subconscious mind. I asked permission first. I went inside there, and I saw I can go into where the memories and the conscious mind is recording everything. And you can always see some kind of glitch in there where this glitch kind of, you can see where the problem area is at. So I went in deeper in there and I saw a lot of problems there. Like, look, JP, it's incredible. The mind is so incredible. You can actually see like this line of electricity. It was blue. Blue electricity. And it was actually, vertical. And then I see some lines going horizontal, from each direction. And I follow those. And I saw like a doorway that you couldn't get through it. And then I looked to the other side, to the other, horizontal, and it was blocked from all directions. So I knew I couldn't do much there. So the only way I was able to penetrate that, JP, was to use my technique of letters and numbers. And I could see when I'm looking at these frequencies that are popping up, these frequencies, they move around like a box. It moves around to the left, to the right, up and down. And I see certain frequency, and then those boxes tell me which frequency is the one to deactivate on that problem area. So I would see like three or four blockages, and once I remove those blockages, I would then deactivate these codes that I come up with from the reading of the session, and I would see the deactivation codes. And maybe there's three or four or five deactivation codes. And maybe there's two or three activation code. And once I do the deactivation code actually take place and it removes these blockages. And once I go back into the subconscious mind, and then I see that these blockages are no longer there. It's like a highway that had a concrete wall and you couldn't get through it, and all of a sudden that disappears, and I'm able to go even deeper in the subconscious mind to read anything else that could be that this person could have that problem. And that's the way I do it. I actually discovered this method, and I've discovered many of them. I have found also an exercise that I invented myself, because I actually tested it on myself. And what I did is, this is really a good one. It's called the three rings, the three rings of programming and deprogramming. What you do is you take three deep breaths. Every time you do one, you make it longer than the other, and the last one as long as you can, so you can find your state of mind in a relaxed mode. And then what you do is you put whatever you're going to do, whatever you want to do, or whatever you want to try, you need to go through the first ring in the bottom. You put your mind through the first ring in the bottom, and then you have to go to the middle for a second. What you do, you go in first, curve back into the middle one, come out the front of the middle one, then curve back up and go through the top one and do the same thing constantly. You always come back to the same location that you started. Once you go through the rings in the front, you go through the rings in the back. And you can also use that as a weapon. I'm not going to teach you that. But there's ways to do many things with those three rings. And those three rings, I'm teaching my daughter now, my daughter Sarah, and I'm teaching her now, and she's having an incredible effect of she's getting all kinds of knowledge, because that's what she wants. She wants to have knowledge and be able to comprehend what she's going through. And she's doing very well and very good at it. And I got many people around the world doing it, and they're getting all kinds of results. And it's just been great, JP. And I'm glad I discovered these two techniques, and I'm glad I'm helping people out there, because it's getting results. I haven't had one complaint yet. I have actually done with my technique that I discovered about 157 people in the last 8 months. They have not come back to me and not said, oh, look, I'm feeling sick, I'm this, I don't know what's going on. Not one have come back and said anything to me. And I can also get rid of depression, too. Get rid of depression, blockage, biochips in the body. I know how to turn them off. I know what frequencies to use. And I did, back in, let me go back, JP. I went to a place called Pines, wait a minute, what's that name?
Pine Gap in Australia?
No, not Pine Gap. No, I'm sorry. It's called Spruce Pine. Spruce Pine, North Carolina. It's south of me, about 89 miles south of me. And it's a very small town. And I was asked to go there to help many people. And I went there, and the whole town found out about it. They said I was a shaman. I'm not a shaman. I've never claimed that I've been a shaman. And this lady went into, he came in, and she was a little scared to approach me at the beginning. And finally she told the owner of the business I was at, because we did it at her apartment down in the basement. And, she told her that if I wasn't going by the name of Max at the time. I go by many names, but finally she agreed for me to help her, and she told me straight out in front of everybody, I have been working in a underground bunker city in the United States, which I'm not allowed to talk about it, but I have been involved in a lot of experiments there, and they haven't put a lot of chips in my body, and I wonder if you can do something about it, because it's affecting everything inside my body, like my nerves, my muscles, the way I walk, the way I think, the way I do things. So what I did was, I had another friend of mine there, her name is Deanna Penny, and she was using tuning forks. She had all frequencies. So I told her, I want you to use the frequency of 646. So I had her, what we did is, she was wearing very light clothes. Well, you can't see through the clothes, but very light clothes and parts of her body. And I told her to hit the tone of 648. And you ain't gonna believe this, JP. The body, all her body, you could see these dimples in her body sticking out. They weren't sticking out, they were pushing against the skin like they wanted to come out, JP. And I tell her to keep putting that tune, and then I told her, there was somebody there counting them all. She had a total of 78 chips in her body. Look, JP, anyway, all you had to do was put your hands over her arms, and just like you're pressing softly over the arm, and you could feel the dents on these chips that she had in her body. So I was able to, then I told my friend, keep the some of them were deep inside her body. So we had, in order to get the deeper ones, we had to use the frequency of 648, and then the 748 hertz. I'm talking about hertz. The 748 hertz made the chip come out from whatever deep depth that it was in the body, and as soon as she did that, and then we said, okay, hit 648. And then she hit 648. Those area that weren't showing at the beginning, when I did the first one at 648, new ones appear around that area. So, I use, these frequencies to remove these chips. And then all I have to do is put my hands over it. I get guidance, I get help from light beings that help me with this. And they're next to me doing this for me. And, actually, they come out of they go right through the skin and come out. I have to do it very slowly because, when you pull them too fast out of the skin, it will leave these red marks already all over the body, like something's coming out.
Bit like removing ticks.
Exactly. And they start to come out really, we have to do it slowly. And look, let me tell you something. There was a scientist there that wanted me to help his daughter. And, he said, listen, let me collect this. I do have, in my car, these special types of envelopes where I want to investigate this a little longer. Could I have a couple of those? And sure. So we put in those, it's one of these envelopes that doesn't catch bacteria. It seals them up pretty good. So I was there for 3 days. He came on my first day. And then on the second day, he came back. And he showed me, he had this microscope that would magnify up to about 500,000. I don't know what, minus. And you won't believe, JP, those pictures, how clear it was. JP, it was organic. Some of them looked like, some of them had really small lights coming out of it. And, a lot of them had this, some kind of artificial intelligence of his own. And it was, it had like a skin on it, scaly skin. And, I couldn't explain it. But, he said he was able to measure frequencies. These frequencies, these are the ones he gave me because I still remember. It was 411 to 419 point. And it had four digits of, I remember the first one. It was 411.8689. And that, it was not hertz anymore. It was really, it was not megahertz either. It was actually gigahertz. And he was able to measure the frequency in there. And it said that it pulsed every 3 nanoseconds between one pulse and the other. And it was so incredible, JP. I mean, actually, he made a video on a CD player for me to keep. And I do got to find it because it's really great information. And
yeah, you want to put that on YouTube.
Shit, man, if I can find the CD. I've been doing a lot of remodeling here in my house. My daughter had moved into my master bedroom. A lot of stuff was taken out of there. I know it was in there, but I know it's in boxes. I have to look for it. And I would like to illustrate that and put it on my YouTube channel.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yes. And I'm going to tell you, this person is an engineer. He's a physics engineer. And he was able, not because he's into UFOs and stuff like that, and aliens, he has studied, he's done a lot of secret work, on his own. And he showed me some proof of many things. He freaked me out. I didn't know that that person had so much proof of many things and all that. But he was able to detect that some of those chips were implanted by several races. I don't know how he came to that conclusion, JP, but it was incredible. He put all that on that video. I'm gonna find it. And as soon as I get it, I'm gonna see if I can get it to you. So you can see.
So that's a, I mean, this is like a very good proof of like, but what about the cigarette smoking man? You know, that's the guy, I'm talking about the X-Files, you know, the guy who at the beginning, the first show of the X-Files, you see him take the chip sample and walk into this room, which is like row upon row upon row of racks, and each rack has got row upon row of boxes, and in each boxes are dozens and dozens of these samples. Just like that's how many they already have, and they've been sort of studying them, and they all have they're all sort of slightly alive. So what's interesting, you say that they presumably have different signature frequencies from the different races. Is that what we're talking about? Because I'm very into my audience as well is also very savvy on frequency. We understand that you can heal with frequency and you can also hurt with frequency. And we've been working with Shari Edwards, who has a particular technique for examining the voice, and there's, you know, you can tell everything from the voice to, you know, to somebody who can read a voice and through frequency, nothing is a secret. Nothing.
That's right. Nothing is a secret anymore. The information that's out there, a lot of the people like you and me and many of the hosts here on Revolution Radio, Studio AMB, have done a good job in getting the right information to the public. And a lot of people are waking out there because of station like Revolution Radio, Dark City Radio, and Wolf Ferret Radio. It's how we're getting the right information out there. And I believe that Revolution Radio is actually the best one of all to give the right information to the public and to make sure that they're getting the right information from the right people like you, JP. You got Steve Travesty, Stephen Nick Kelly, and so on. And Sean David Martin. And they're doing a really incredible work, and they're getting right information out there. And I do gotta bow my head to Revolution Radio because they've done a great job throughout the years have they been on the air. And what else can I say? Donate. Please donate to Revolution Radio to keep it going and get the right truth out there. Right, JP?
Indeed, indeed, a listener-supported station. Also, you know, we have, there's an enormous archive that Hawk is moving just at the moment. So it's going to be down, it's so huge, it's going to be down for about 2 weeks before it's complete. That's how big it is. I mean, they're transferring the data across these enormous internet pipes, which are much wider than your average broadband. But even at that rate, it's going to take 2 weeks or something like a week to 10 days to move the entire collection across. So anyway, it's all going to be set up stronger and better, as is my system. Those of you who have been following me would remember that my system was kind of packing up. It was all cracking up, and I was losing the line, and all sorts of terrible things were happening to my system during the end of the last year. And it was tired. It has been running a radio station on nothing, zero, no pennies, for 5 years, and this is the result of when you know, it's not new equipment either. It's, you know, it's junk. Literally, I use junk, I recycle junk to make computers that that create a radio station. So actually, if anybody's interested in learning how to do that, I'm very happy to share my information, give lessons, and help people set up their own radio station themselves, and thus be an independent lifeboat. So even if the main ship goes down, you've still got your own shtick, your own stuff.
Yes.
So Max, we were talking about the activation codes and deactivation codes and what they are and where they come from. And let's see where we should go with that. So really, it's like what is being activated? And what has it got to do with Jimi Hendrix if 6 turned out to be 9?
Oh my God. I don't think I can go back that far. But he was a tremendous guitar player, that's for sure. One of the best. But Jimi Hendrix, from what I heard from other sources, they told me that he was he could hear frequency in his mind and turn it into incredible music. I don't know how he did that. I have no idea, but he did a lot of things. He actually discovered something very deep in the black magic world that these Illuminatis and Cabal use, because they're all involved in that. He discovered certain things, and I don't think that Jimi Hendrix was whatever reason they say he died of. I think it was more assassination than anything else. Not just like him, but also Bob Marley, because Bob Marley, I didn't know him personally. I was hired to bodyguard his family, his wife and his children. And I happened to be at, they did the private funeral, the viewing in his house where he lived in Coral Gables, Florida. And I was there, and there was a lot of police, Coral Gables Police Department, officer outside. I was on the inside. And he was laying in the coffin there with his guitar. They actually buried him with his guitar.
Oh, that's, yeah. That's like a pharaoh being buried with his staff and stuff. You know?
Yes. Yeah. Actually, it was first guitar where he got started. I forget what color it was. I don't know if it was red. I know it had orange in it. Well, it had the three colors of Jamaica, the flag. And I was there. I saw him there. He was very peaceful. And I got a little bit dizzy in there because they were smoking ganja, which is weed, and in the backyard. I went outside to get some air, and I was on the side of the fence in the back. There was like four Coral Gables police officers, and you could see them getting high from that heavy smoke.
They were hotboxing. You were hotboxing with the Rastas.
Yeah.
As your President Obama says.
Yeah.
He apparently enjoyed a good hotboxing in his time.
Well, actually, I was there, and I got so damn high. They were smoking these joints. They were like 8 inches long and about an inch and round. They actually rolled it up so perfectly, and they were lighting them up. And the officer said, I said to the police, "Hey, well, you guys ain't going to do nothing about it, are you?" He said, "Are you kidding? I feel so good right now, I can't do nothing." So he said, "Well, maybe you ought to move to the front of the house." Well, that front of the house is worse because they're smoking in the house. That's where I was at the beginning.
Maybe I should go and get some donuts.
Yeah. And what that is, donuts is actually the key word for most of the mind controls. See, it's very simple. Let me explain it. That's the first thing you say, JP. give them donuts. Why do all police officers have a habit for eating donuts and sweets?
One ring to rule them all.
Yeah.
Toroidal food, you know, there's a power to bagels and donuts.
Yeah, why don't they just drink some hot tea at 4 o'clock p.m.? What do you think about that, JP?
Yeah, exactly. With scone, with cream, and then jam.
Yeah. Oh, marmalade. You're supposed to say marmalade.
Oh, marmalade.
But anyway, there are so many ways to control people. Even with words, repeat the word several times in front of a person, and once you repeat the word at least 7 times, okay, one word, and then you repeat the another word that conjuncts with that other word, and repeat it 5 times, and then you repeat it 4 times, and then you repeat it 7 times, and once a person's that subconscious mind of that person, they hears this, it automatically is caught in that mind control area where you're allowed to enter the subconscious mind and be able to turn it on and off whenever you want. And whatever information that you want to get, for example, if you want to do industrial espionage, you get one of these guys that are involved in secret projects, and you become friends with them. And once you use those techniques of those words and several times repeat them, that mind automatically will listen to what you got to say and program that person and tell them, once you got them on that control, you can see that he's under control by the... His eyes will look straight out and will go like in a pause position where you got him under control, like if you're using hypnotic on him. Once you got him in that, then you tell him. You don't tell him personally. You're telling the subconscious mind. Okay? To find every information of what's going on in that place. Okay, and you know, not only by recording it with your subconscious mind, it's also controlling the eyesight, the sight of vision, the sight of vision that you're able to see what they want you to see and record it in your mind. And then once it is recorded and it got the information that they wanted out of you, then the conscious mind would open up. The subconscious sends a signal to the conscious mind, because the conscious mind is the present recording, the present time, the timeline of that reality. So what it does, and when you get them back and you say those words, you say the words of the letter that you use several times, it will actually put him in a stage of hypnotic, and that person would do whatever you tell them. You know, and if that person, for example, let me tell you, it's so incredible of mine. This person, let's say that this person that got all the information does not know how to draw. I can't draw worth a damn. You know, my girlfriend and my daughter, they're excellent. They can draw anything, paint anything. But this person would not know how to do this. So that what they do, that while they're doing that program at the beginning, they will actually put a program in their mind how to do drawings and specific do drawings what he recovered while he was spying on that, on his company. So he would draw it. He would actually draw it. You know? Because these people that are doing mind control on others, they are they know that some people can't draw, or they just don't know how to do it, so they put the program anyway just in case. So when they put up a notebook in front of them, and they start to draw all the things that he was able to see. Or, because there are some companies industrial companies that do not allow you to bring your cell phone into the work area. They take them away from you, and they put them in a safe place while you're working, because they know that, you know, that's the best way to take pictures and send it to someplace else. And not only that, when you work in these type of labs, they put you through these, like they have at the airport. The TSA puts you through. They want to make sure that you don't have any tracking or any type of a transmitter on you, because if you get caught, you get fired. And they do it many, many ways. And they use a lot of precaution. But one of the best ones is drawing it and put it on paper, because it's not traceable. Only the electronics is traceable. So they make it, go ahead.
So yeah, pen and paper is the way forward, it seems. So I'd like to kind of wrap it up, because, you know, we introduced the subject of scaled mass mind control and activation and deactivation. Can we bring it together? Is it possible to have some kind of sub-encoding that works, you know, that works for the positive, that works to deactivate and activate? You know, could it be put into a piece of music that can deactivate the 9/11 program, for instance?
Yes, you can do that. You can also, it's also being done in many music. One of the music that it was actually put into place was the music of hip-hop, rock and roll. Let's see, hip-hop, rock and roll. First one was rock and roll. And jazz. No, I'm sorry, not jazz or blues. Mostly rock and roll. Music that has a lot of... that the music is loud, and also when the music is very fast. When the music's played very fast. Because when you play it fast, it actually hides a lot of things. It's just like if you have a, you know, you see these musicians singing in an audience, and sometimes you hear the music too loud because you can't hear his voice. And a lot of times they use that in that way. They use it a lot in music.
Masking.
Exactly. And a lot of things. I've been involved in this for a very long time. I fooled, they did have me in control a couple times, the government. And, one of the thing that I was, I don't want to go into too much detail about that, but I know one time I was mind control. I didn't know too much about it. And I woke up inside a cage. I woke up inside a cage, and there was many, many people there, individually in these caves. And I was in one of those. I don't know how long I was there, but I woke up in one of those. And there was a lot of children there, very young, 7, 8, 9 years old, little girls from 9, 11 up to 14. There was also military men. I saw probably about 8 to 10 English soldiers. There were a lot of American soldiers there, and also Canadian soldiers were there. And but I don't want to go into too much detail. It's a little bit long, but we had these black boxes attached to our left arm, near our wrist, and every time that we thought or think about escape, the word escape, it will electrocute us. And I've been tortured many times with electrocution, electricity, in many ways, in the past. And, it's not good. And since I was electrocuted before, that experience being in the cage, I was able to use some of my abilities to get loose and get out of that cave, that cage. And we were able, once I got out, I was able to see the predator that was in there that was hurting us there. And I was able to, as soon as I got out, I was able to capture one of them. And actually, I broke his neck. I killed him. And then we released almost everybody. Every time one predator kept coming in into the cave, between all of us, well, some of us, we disarmed them, and then it was easy to kill them because they were taller than we are. And we were able to break their necks. And they're very sensitive. The best way to get these predators was to come up from the rear and snap their necks off. They're very gentle from the shoulder up, but they were hard to kill. You couldn't kill them to the front. You had to kill them through the head. And I'm talking about reptilians.
So are these what we'd call a tall white?
No, these were not. They're not tall whites. Tall whites are different. Tall whites are not bad. I'm talking about reptilians. Reptilians are reptilians of many sizes. There are 6-footers, 7-footers, 8-footers, and the largest, I've never seen that one, but the largest I was told by another friend of mine. His name is Sergeant Daniel McBolin III. He was an Air Force Special Forces Ops like I was. And he saw me work in S-Force several times. And he has encountered those 12-foot reptilians. And he was able to kill a few of them. But I'm not going to go into that. What else do you want to talk about? JP.
Yeah, well, we've got about 2 minutes left, so I think we'll probably have a lot more conversations in the future, in 2016, and that's under negotiation just now. If you could give everybody your website, how people can your YouTube channel, so people, or, you know, does it come through the same thing, so that people can get into your stuff, see where you're at, and also book a session or two. So how do people do all that?
Well, I have a email account. It's captmaxsteel@hotmail.com, and that's the way you can contact me, or just go on Skype and put captmaxsteel and put down when you want me to add you, just put down where you know me from or where you heard me from. I do have a YouTube that's, it says Max Steel Area 51 Worker. You can see in there. I'm getting ready to put.
There we go. That's all we got. Thanks very much, Max Steel.
Thank you.
We'll hear more of you in 2016. Thanks very much, mate. Good night.
Thank you.